Welcome back to Casting Dreams. I'm Jonathan Eaton.
I'm Patrick G. Anderson.
Oh shit. That's a good tee up for the game that we're covering today, which is the classic arcade House of the Dead 2. House of the Dead 2.
Sorry, I had to.
Yeah. This game, wow. Playing it again, it's so funny because I didn't take a lot of notes, but like I feel like I have a lot to talk about. But yeah, we are talking about the video game House of the Dead 2, sequel to House of the Dead. It was a Sega Dreamcast launch game, and it was one of the first Dreamcast games I ever played. I think this was the, when we got a Dreamcast, it was Sonic Adventure and House of the Dead 2.
Yeah, it was in my five games that I reserved. So.
That you reserved, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, well, I guess let's get right into it. I usually do research for these games. Some of these games, this is what I'm finding that's kind of funny. Some of these games have a lot of shit to talk about. When I'm doing my research, there's just like a lot of notes. There's a lot of interesting tidbits. And then some of these games just don't have a lot of information. It's like, nah, it's just right. A game, I guess. Like, nothing.
You don't know it. You suck. You know, yeah. Basically. Yeah. That's what I was finding too when I was looking up stuff on the game. I was like, yeah. Oh, it's an arcade game. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's an arcade. It's a light gun on rails arcade game. House of the Dead 1 came out in 1997 as an arcade game. It was, so House of the Dead 2 is a direct sequel to House of the Dead 1. Like, literally, the storyline of House of the Dead 2 is like, I don't know, it's like 2 years later, but it's so funny because it makes no sense to me at all.
Nope.
And I've played this game like a million times and it still doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But it was House of the Dead 2, the original subtitle for it was supposed to be Original Sin, which I think is funny, based off of some dialogue later in the game by the bad guy. They dropped that subtitle though and just called it House of the Dead 2. It features returning FBI agent characters, and I was confused by this, but so G, there's a character G who is a character from the first game, mm-hmm. and you meet him in the very beginning of this game, but you're playing as one or two new FBI agents, depending on if you're playing single or two player. But there's a team of other FBI agents, Harry and Amy, that you keep meeting up with. And the thing I read was that it was inspired by the X-Files. So I guess,
interesting.
It was just like, hey, let's have a lady and a guy FBI agent team.
Yeah, that was the early 2000s or late
yeah,
90s.
Late so, 90s, yeah. Early 2000s. But I'm like, okay, so was it the supporting characters that were inspired by the X-Files? I guess the Harry and Amy ones. Like, I don't know. That was confusing. Yeah. But FBI agents, you're FBI agents and you're fighting zombies. This is something that I never thought about until I was reading it. And I feel stupid because I've played this game a lot. I played it a lot back in the day. It takes place in Italy.
Yeah, Venice, Italy.
Did you also not know that, like, until you kind of were reading about it?
Or when I was playing it, I was like, wow, they're really trying to make it look like, because there's obviously some water levels, you know, that you have to be in the back of the boat and shoot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, this really kind of looks like an Italy. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, it is Italy.
It is Italy. Yeah.
Duh. Okay.
So like they literally, they go to the Colosseum at one point, mm-hmm. which is in Rome. But like, yeah. So the whole thing is just like, oh, yeah, take place in Italy.
Manja.
Oh no, the zombies. That makes
Mario.
I really wish then, like, I wish all of the people that you saved are like, oh, Mamma Mia, thank you so much. Yeah, oh,
Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. No.
Apologies to any Italians listening, but
I'm Italian, so I can do it.
There you go.
There you go.
My wife's Italian. I'm allowed to do it.
Yeah.
So they actually location scouted in Italy for this game, which again, like following the same kind of theme from like Sonic Adventure, I just feel like they were fleecing Sega back in the day to be like, yeah, you know, we're making a new video game where you shoot zombies, and we want to set it in like Venice. So can we just go to Venice?
Well, we got to. I mean,
we have to. We've got to make it accurate.
And Jesus, pasta. Yeah.
I believe they went to Venice, and I meant to look up how you say these places, but Firenze. And I don't know how else to say it, but bologna. I don't know how to say, and it was the Italian way to say that word.
Is it
bologna?
Oh, yeah. Oh shit. Not bolognese. No. Is it bolognese? No. No,
B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Bologna.
Bologna. They went to Bologna.
That's the New York version. Okay.
It used, House of the Dead 2 used the brand new Sega Naomi board. I always find it interesting, like, how much of that information is in these, you know, when I'm looking up these games, like, oh, it used this board or it used this, you know, like how frequently they're like, like computer chips were just getting like updated back in the day. And now it's just like, I don't know, Unreal 5, Unreal 6, whatever.
Yeah. It's actually the software that's getting updated. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't hear them saying like, oh, it's using the new IBM whatever, or I don't know. They do talk about like the fucking graphics cards and shit, but I'm not a PC master race, so I don't know any of that at all.
Yeah,
we're not PC guys. We're console guys, as you can tell from our Dreamcast podcast.
Well, I can't listen if they don't do it. So,
jeez,
they should just do an emulator.
No, we're hipsters. No, we don't. We use OG stuff.
I hate talking to PC people, and it's not like I'm gonna make a generalization, but it's I feel like a child. I'm gonna be 40 in like a little over a week, and every time I talk to someone new who's a gamer.
Okay.
And I say, oh, what do you play? And they'll be like, oh, this or that or whatever. I'm like, oh, what do you play on? Do you have like, are you like PlayStation, Xbox, Switch? And anytime someone's like, oh, PC, I'm like, okay, cool. Cool. Okay. I don't have anything to talk to you about, I guess. Like other, like we play some of the same games, but like it's inevitable if you talk to a PC gamer.
Yeah.
You know, when you say, oh, I am not a PC gamer. I play on a console. They're like, oh, well, you should. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. One of the, like, this is my favorite conversation to ever have with a PC gamer. This is me saying, oh, yeah, you know, I keep thinking like one day I want to like build a PC, but I just like, I never have the time to like teach myself how to do it. And then this is them. Oh, it's not that hard.
That, I'm sorry, that's what I've heard time and time. That's not hard.
But do you like, don't they say that to you too, don't they?
Yes,
it's not
they
that
do.
Hard. Oh, it's not that hard. Okay. I do, you know what else isn't that hard? Buying a PlayStation.
Card
and I was machine. Yeah,
thank you.
And I was gonna say buying a PlayStation and sticking a game in, and I don't even do that anymore. It's all digital, baby.
Huzzah.
So it's not, I don't have anything against PC gamers.
No,
like we're all in it for, you know, the fun. We all want to play good games, but like, just if you are a PC gamer, can you just back off a little bit? Just take it easy. Yeah, I get it. GTA 5 looks photorealistic. I'm very happy for you. Super cool.
And you have to update the graphics card like every 2 years.
Okay, that's the thing. Okay, yeah. Seriously, this is the thing. I'm not a fucking millionaire. Like, Henry Cavill, good for him. He can build his own PC every single 6 months if he wants to, because he's a bajillionaire movie star.
Right.
A new graphics card, aren't they like a grand?
Pretty much. That's what I've gathered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than a console.
And it's like every year you have to update all of that shit. Like, I don't have that kind of money to drop on constantly upgrading my fucking PC. I'd rather buy, a PS5. I'm not even going to buy a PS5 Pro.
No, I'm not either. That's ridiculous.
Because it also, I can barely tell the difference.
Well, the rocks look more rocky.
Well, you see, the rays are really tracing a little more.
Yeah, it's not enough for me to put down, what, is it 700, 800?
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
it might be. Is it like 800? It's fucking crazy. I bought a PS4 Pro when that came out for, what was that, like a decade ago or something? But yeah, it was 400. Reasonably priced. Actually, okay. I know we haven't been talking about House of the Dead for a couple minutes, but I do have a pretty great anecdote about our PS. I was trying to remember this. I was talking to Becca about the PS5 Pro, and she was like, "You don't want one, do you?" And I was like, "No, I don't care, because it seems... First of all, that's an insane price. And if it promise me more VR games, PlayStation, maybe. But I already fooled me once, I already bought your PSVR 2 and there's nothing to play on it. I was like, we had a PS4 Pro. Why did we have a PS4 Pro? And why only had a PS4? And then I remembered, and it all came back to me. Huh. We had a PS4. And it broke.
Oh.
And it died. And it was one of those things where, if you remember the PS4, when you would start it up and it sounded like a jet engine, because that thing just the way they designed it. So our PS4 broke, and I got it. It was right when the PS4 Pro came out. And I got our PS4 working to the point where it would start. I had to I don't remember how much I had to clean it or something like that, but it basically wouldn't work if you played a game, but it would start. Oh. And then I took it to GameStop, and I was like, "I'd like to trade in my PS4 for a PS4 Pro." And they plugged it in, and it started up, and they're like, "Okay, you're good." And I'm sweating watching them do it. I'm like, "Okay, cool." And then they took the PS4, and then I used the credit to buy a PS4 Pro. So I only paid $100 or something for a PS4 Pro, and just ran out of the store.
Oh, nice.
Fully conning them out of it. And but then, you know what, joke's on me, because it wasn't until a year or two later that I realized that that PS4 that I traded in had the PT demo on it. And I can never play it again. R.I.P.
That's just so fucked up. I just don't understand why Konami just can't grow up.
Just put it out.
Put it out. Put it on disc. Put it on the store. That would make so much money.
Oh my god, seriously, charge money for it? This is what I've been saying for years with Star Wars. Whenever people talk about Star Wars with the original trilogy and the original versions of the original trilogy, and Disney could make so much money by just releasing that version of Star Wars and charging $100 for it, and people would buy it.
Yes, they would.
And you can make it limited or whatever, but PT, put it, just release it as a downloadable thing and charge $10 for it.
Yep,
you'd make a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, Patrick. Anyway, House of the Dead 2.
G is over there, Jonathan. G is over there.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Original arcade game of House of the Dead 2 came out in November 1998. And then it was ported to the Dreamcast, and I didn't see when it was ported to the Dreamcast in Japan, but it was a launch game for the Dreamcast in America in September 1999. So it's a real light gun shooter. And here's another interesting thing. And this is, You know, I meant to say this actually at the top of the episode and I forgot, but I wanted to call this episode like part one in a series that I want to call Peripheral Madness. Because the Dreamcast had like a lot of really crazy peripherals, and video games had a lot of peripherals back in the day. They don't so much anymore. But this is the first game that we're talking about with something other than the regular controller.
Ooh, very true.
Now, you can play House of the Dead 2 with a controller. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try doing that?
I tried, and then I just was like, no. It just even plugging it in just felt wrong. I'm sorry. This is like it's no. This is not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm very glad I have a CRT and can play it still with a zapper. Yes.
So that's the thing, is it's 2024. Not only do you need, you know, the light gun if you want to play with a light gun, but you need a CRT TV. If you don't know, light guns, you know, antique video game light guns do not work with modern televisions. It's the refresh rate, basically. So modern flat screen TVs, LED or whatever. I guess they're all LED now, aren't they? Right?
LED, and then what's the other one? OLED.
There's OLED, but that's still LED.
Yeah,
it's a nicer version.
Nicer.
But remember back when flat screens started being a thing, and you got LED, you had LCD, which was the shittier version of LED, because it was like LCD, like it was like, you know, watch touch screens or whatever, and when you would touch the actual screen, it would be like wow,
yeah,
it was like that weird like flowery thing. Uh-huh. And then there's plasma screen TVs, and the plasma screen TVs I remember being kind of short-lived, because it was tubes full of plasma, and when one of those burnt out, you were fucked.
Uh-huh.
And those were super expensive. So in the early to mid 2000s, when they started coming out with HD TVs and like big, like widescreen flat TVs, then they eventually figured out LED was the way to go. Before that, kids, we had cathode ray tube TVs, which are the big chonky guys that are very deep and very heavy and have that ozone smell to them. And when you turn it on, there's like a little sizzle and a crackle. So the way it works with a CRT TV is the refresh rate is, you know, it's displaying lines of color faster than your eye can pick up. And the way that light guns work is the light guns are, it has something to do with like the refresh rate, and can, you know what? I should have looked this up and talked about it like I knew what I was talking about, because it has something to do.
It sounds good to me, man. Keep going.
Thank you.
Because I don't know.
We're going to take a brief pause while I look up how the fuck light guns and CRT TVs work. Welcome back to Casting Dreams. We're talking about light guns. Took a brief break to look it up so I didn't sound like a fucking idiot. Guys, remember, we're lovers, not experts.
That's awesome. You gotta keep that. Welcome back.
Welcome back. So the original light guns, I'm going off of Wikipedia. We're talking about light guns from the NES Zapper, which is basically the first one we all remember from Duck Hunt, up to the Wii, because the Wii says it used infrared emitters, and that's different. All right, I'm just going to read this straight off of Wikipedia, because I don't know what I'm talking about. The first detection method used by the NES Zapper, it involves drawing each target sequentially in white light after the screen blacks out. And this is kind of what I was trying. This is what I thought I was explaining, and then I was realizing, like, wait, what? But I do remember I've seen, you know, a demonstration of this. If you film this in like super duper slow-mo, you will see the lines appearing on a CRT monitor, and you'll see the screen flash white. Mm-hmm. So the computer knows that if the diode detects light as it is drawing a square or after the screen refreshes, then that is the target at which the gun is pointed. Essentially, the diode tells the computer whether or not the player hit something, and for N objects, the sequence of the drawing of the targets tells the computer which target the player hit after... Jesus Christ, there's like a mathematical formula. It's like 1 plus cell parentheses log z parentheses n parentheses parentheses nth parentheses. Refreshes one refresh to determine if any target at all was hit, and then another little mathematical formula to do a binary search for the object that was hit. Side effect of this is that in some games, a player can point the gun at a light bulb, or other bright light source, pull the trigger, and cause the system to falsely detect a hit on the first target each time. That's interesting. Some games account for this by either detecting if all targets appear to match or by displaying a black screen and verifying that no targets match. That's funny. So you could, like, I guess in like some primitive like light gun games, you could just just point at a light bulb and beep, 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 beep. So there's, you know, there's a little sensor in the gun. And by the way, we've both got our light guns. I've got the, what is this, the Mad Cats zapper?
Mm-hmm. And I've got the Sega Japanese.
You've got the official one.
Official one.
Yeah.
That won't work.
Oh, no.
On the US Dreamcast.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So you get what Jonathan has, the Dream Blaster
by Mad Cats. And big, big, big old shout out to Patrick and his dad for shipping me this controller. Thank you so much, because I did not have one. But so, yeah, it's got this little sensor, and when you pull the trigger, I think the sensor, you know, goes off, and basically what I think that article was saying is that as it's refreshing faster than your eye can possibly detect, there's like little white, you know, dots on the screen, probably where you're supposed to hit them. So it knows where you're pointed on the screen, and it knows when you actually hit the thing you're supposed to hit.
Really?
Thank you for joining. This has been my TED Talk on light guns. I miss light guns.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some
cozy goodness feeling.
It's fun. And like, I was going to get into this when we talked about the gameplay, but I'll just say it now. What I was thinking while I was playing with the light gun, and I did play with the controller first, and then I played with the light gun, and yeah, the controller fucking blows, because you have to use the analog stick.
Sick.
To move the, basically the
cursor.
Reticle.
Yeah.
And it's so slow. There's no fucking way to play this game with the controller. And then, yeah, the light gun was much more fun. But what I was thinking is, I guess what has replaced light guns is either your Nintendo's, so you get the Wii and the Switch, which are really good, really good motion controls, or VR.
Right.
Like, I was thinking specifically playing like Resident Evil in VR.
We're doing
it. Because you actually like. And there's other VR games that I played where it's like a kind of a shooter, you know, there's lots of shooter VR games. But the thing with that is that you're not like, you're holding the VR controller, you're not holding a little peripheral, which is a lot more fun than holding a VR controller.
Yeah.
Because like in Resident Evil 8, for example, you can hold like the shotgun and it's two-handed, so you can literally, you know, you're pretending you've got a shotgun in your hands. You don't actually. You've got two controllers, you one in each hand. But this hand, you're holding like the grip, and then this hand, you can actually put it up, and like you see in the game, like your hand grabs the shotgun. So you're actually like holding it like this. It's very, very cool. And you know, if you move your forehand around, basically, like whatever is holding the front of the shotgun or the sniper rifle or whatever, it actually does move the gun in the game. It's very cool, but it's very different from holding a light gun and pointing it at a screen and be like, bang, 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 bang. So when you first pop in House of the Dead 2, what I love about this, So what you see when you first pop in House of the Dead 2 is basically a montage of, like, previously on House of the Dead, because this is all House of the Dead 1 footage. But what I love is that just the entire time it's flashing press start button in capital letters. So, like, when I was pulling the clip for this part, mm-hmm. I realized I don't think I ever watched this, because I think I just press start immediately every single fucking time.
You know what? I'm with you, because I remember some of it, but mm-hmm. yeah, I just remember just hitting start like, I want to play. I don't care. I just want to play.
Yeah, so, I just want to play. Yeah. Give me those zombies. I want to kill the zombies. But it's really, yeah, like we were saying, how this is a direct sequel to House of the Dead 1. There is a plot, and the first game was something about Dr. Kurien, right? And then he's defeated by G, and I can't remember, it showed the other guy's name, but I cannot remember.
G and...
like something with a... I don't know.
I can't remember.
But then what I love is that after it shows you the little recap of, like, previously on, it shows you a shadowy guy kind of taking up the mantle of the dead Dr. Kurien. Then it's like, all right, get ready for House of the Dead 2. And it's really is like watching a TV show where it's like, coming up on House of the Dead 2. Because it's just showing you clips of the whole fucking game that you're about to play.
Don't ruin it. Yeah,
I know. Don't ruin it. I don't want to say. I don't. No spoilers.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I can't wait to get into the plot of this, and I can't wait to talk about the bad guy and the voice acting.
The acting is great.
Oh, so fucking good.
Especially at the end, like when you
was it
Judgment? No, Judgment. Is that
we'll get to it because I've got a clip for it.
Okay. Oh, yep.
House of the Dead 2 features an the arcade version of this game featured an auto reload function where if you pointed the gun off screen, it reloaded. I did notice that in the Dreamcast version, you have to pull the trigger off screen. So you aim off screen, pull the trigger to reload. It doesn't just do it automatically. There's a branching path system, which is pretty fun and actually does give you a decent amount of replayability. So it's an on-rail shooter, but you can do things in the game to go down like path B, basically. So like if you just go straight down the line and like just shoot zombies, you're going to go down like path A, let's say. But there's stuff that you can do where it's like in the first level, there's a key on the ground. And if you shoot the key, it'll open up a door in front of you and you can go that way instead of going like the standard way. And you can kind of cut around stuff or you can get some like different variety. And that's kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
It also features civilians that you can rescue that give you stuff. Yeah, were you good at rescuing civilians?
No, I was horrible. And at the same time, it's not fair, but I always felt so guilty. Mm-hmm. It's like, shit, I let somebody die.
No.
I feel terrible. I'm going to keep playing. Yeah. I can make it through this. But no, I always felt bad because it's like, don't come.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was like slow motion. Just like, and then it's like, no, I.
And then, and then they go, no. The worst is it's bad enough when you're too slow or you can't hit the zombie and the zombie gets them. But the worst one is that when you shoot them.
Yeah, that's about 90% of the time I'm not shooting them.
Just panic shooting and then I shoot them and I'm like, oops.
It'll be over real quick. Bam.
It's fine. I'm in the FBI. Don't worry.
I feel bad though. Okay. Moving on. Gil! Yeah, the two agents in this version, mm-hmm. I didn't realize his name was James Taylor, was one of them.
I don't think I did either. James Taylor.
When can I see you again?
FBI agents James Taylor and John Denver reporting for duty.
Hello.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Well, yeah. So James and Gary. Yeah. Rescuing civilians. We were just talking about rescuing civilians, but let's talk about the gameplay of House of the Dead 2. And right now I'm playing basically the entire first level. Over there. So how did it feel for you replaying this for the first time in how many years?
It just felt like home, you know? Mm-hmm. It just felt like I moved back to Maryland, and I just put myself back in 1999. Like, it felt good. I mean, of course, that first line, you know, G is over there. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, who can't forget that line? I'm sorry.
But I'm so glad you say that, because I really also, I haven't played this game, I don't know in how long.
Yeah.
And I was shocked at how much of it I was like, I remembered from memory, like, line reads.
Yeah. Was it Zeal, the little imp guy with the...
Zeal, but my favorite is the big guy's name. Like, it's like C, it's K-U-A-R-L, but we always would say Carl. Yeah. When we play this game.
Come on, he would say, go, Carl! Carl!
Sounds like South Park.
Come on, Carl!
Oh, and I like, yeah, that guy, the first civilian that you meet that you can't save, when he dies, he goes, I don't want to die! Like,
oh, there's the computer showing off, because, yeah, I can never save that guy.
I'm not going to brag, but I was able to save him when I was playing.
Oh. Show off.
Oh, this guy.
Thank you for rescuing me.
Thank you.
Oh my God. The acting in this game is fucking out of control weird.
So what do you think is better, this or Resident Evil?
Honestly, I think Resident Evil, like, if we're talking about, like, actually what's, like, better acting, Resident Evil.
Yeah. But cheese factor. Like, which
cheese
one do you
factor,
think?
Cheese factor. This one takes the cake.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I was not able to find this information. I was looking for it. But I was like, are the people doing the dialogue, are they American or, like, Japanese? Because it honestly does feel a little to me like someone who does not speak English, or maybe can speak English but, like, doesn't have an English accent or an American accent. Trying to do, like, a flat, you know, just like, thank you for rescuing me. it's so weird.
It's like, drop your voice. G is over there.
G is find Harry and Amy. it's the fucking weirdest shit. So there's two modes to this game. There's arcade and original, and the arcade mode is literally just I love these old, like, ports, because it'd always be like arcade mode if you wanted to just, like, have the arcade experience of it's just the arcade game. It's just like you are playing it in arcade even though you're at home. The original mode, though, is much better, because there's a ton of, like, power-ups and unlocks and shit that you can get while playing the game. So if you do the original mode, it starts off with you opening the trunk of your car and it showing you all the shit that you've collected that you can pick up to two things to carry over into, like, a new game. Did you have an old save that you played off of with any of that kind of stuff?
I didn't.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh man, I've got to start all over and build up that luscious trunk.
So what you're saying is you had no junk in that trunk.
I had no junk in the trunk.
Yeah.
Just a flat trunk.
I had a little bit of junk in the trunk, because I still have my fucking save from, I guess, 1999.
Nice.
I didn't have a lot, but I did have one thing that really, really helped, and it was, I think it was called like Power Up 2.0, and it just makes your gunshots stronger. And
nice.
Patrick, I didn't beat the game, but I got to the final boss.
Yeah, I couldn't beat it. Well, and then of course, like the last level, when I got to like the, was it the Hydra? No, the five-headed dragon thing. Mm-hmm. I think I was on my last continue or whatever. So I was like, no, so no, I did not beat it, but
you got pretty far, it sounds like.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I got pretty far.
Yeah. What did I use? I played the original mode and I did the Power Up 2.0, which made my gunshot stronger. Oh, I don't think I'd ever used this before, but I had one that said UFO with 3 question marks. And I was like, what is this? And all it seems to do is every time you look up in the sky, there's a fucking UFO flying around. That's it.
That's awesome.
I tried shooting it and nothing seemed to happen, so I don't know if I was actually hitting it or not. But it was just like, it was just a little UFO. It was just like, it's just like flying around in the sky.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love the quirky stuff. Oh, man.
Very quirky. There's a lot. And I meant to look up like all of the unlocks because there's so fucking many. You can unlock like different guns. I know there's a shotgun that you can unlock to use, and you can unlock like extended clips and, you know, extra lives, obviously, and like extra credits for continuing and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, honestly, I thought the like original mode of this game really added a ton to the playability of it.
Yeah.
Because if it was just the arcade version, I don't think I would have played it as much.
No, I mean, the branching path's cool, but yeah, it's not enough to, you know, I mean,
bring you back over and over again.
Like I want to try it with this now. I want to try it with that now. You know.
Yeah.
So,
I also like. I feel like I know the answer based off of your answer when I asked you about civilians. But were you able to like hit any of the shit that was in crates?
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. I was better at saving people than I was at hitting the shit in crates. It was infuriating. And so, peppered throughout are like crates and barrels and shit. And if you shoot it, something might be in it. But then you have to shoot that thing that's
right.
It's in it to get it. So my problem that I kept running into is I'm like unloading my gun all over the screen and I'll shoot a barrel and then like I'll see the thing that I need to hit and then the camera would just go whoop and it would go right past it before I could hit. So I was too slow all the time. Yeah. That's where a lot of that stuff is. There was like a frog. I was like, what does the frog do?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a little weird. And there's diamonds. There's frog. There's so much shit in this game to shoot at.
Yeehaw.
Let's talk about the bosses.
Let's talk about them.
Carl. Go, Carl.
Who you see twice.
You see, actually, I had completely forgotten about this. You see a lot of the bosses twice.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
Yeah, I was like, come on. Where's the originality? Come on.
Yeah. The majority of the gameplay is just, you know, on rails, you're fighting zombies, and there's lots of different kinds of zombies, but they're, you know, there's like slow zombies, there's zombies with axes, there's zombies with chainsaws, there's big fat zombies with barrels. But then each level has a boss that's kind of like, you know, a unique fight. The first one is this little flying guy with Carl. What did you think of him, the little flying guy with Carl?
I always thought of Salacious Crumb from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Come on,
oh my god. That's perfect.
But he was annoying. No, it wasn't fun.
All right, this guy, the second boss, the like Aquaman. I don't know.
Oh, creature from the Black Lagoon type of guy. Yeah. I preferred beating him than Kyle.
Same.
Yeah.
I found this guy kind of easy, except I think what he's about to do, which is a cheap shot. Yeah, he jumps up in the sky.
Yeah, and hits you.
And hits you. I don't know how to not get hit when he jumps up in the sky to hit you.
Right.
But he's got a real big gaping chest cavity. That seems like the easy way to beat him.
Well, did it show it like in the?
It did.
Every boss had. Okay.
Yeah.
I just shot.
Yeah. Every boss when you're about to fight it, it like opens up a little journal and it's like, here's the boss, and then there's like weak point with a little circle around his weak point, and this guy's weak point is his open chest cavity. Yeah, and then we've got the. Yeah, I always called it a Hydra. Oh, it's called Tower.
Whoa.
But it's basically like five big snakes, snake monsters. I found this one also pretty easy.
Yeah, just spray left and right, just go back and forth.
And the guy playing it in this video actually is doing a pretty bad job. honestly. Because they do, like, they telegraph when they're about to open their mouths, so all you gotta do is wait for them to telegraph it and then just unload your gun, like, in their open mouth. That's basically it.
Yeah.
So this one wasn't too bad. Found it pretty easy. Yeah, and then the last head kind of swims around the sewers of Venice. I don't know.
Then you got Leatherface or... whatever.
Giant Leatherface,
yeah.
This guy cracks me up. He's a just monstrous guy with a giant chainsaw. He's huge. His name is Strength. And you're fighting him in the... It's at the Colosseum, but, like, you're in a maze.
Okay.
But what I love about him is how he runs, because he's got this chainsaw, and he's just like... He's like high stepping, and the weak point is his head. So you really just have to shoot his head. And again, I was like spray and pray. I'm just aiming for his head, and I'm shooting as much as possible.
Yeah.
He also does a kind of a cheap shot where he jumps down at you from a high spot with his chainsaw. It's really hard to avoid.
Boom.
I love the boss music. Barrel narrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking music every time until I think you get to the end. Okay. So then we get to towards the end. This guy, I think, is the final boss from the first game, except now he's got worms all over
him. Much scarier. Yes.
And what's his name? The Emperor? Oh, wait, no. The Emperor, I think, is the last boss. This guy is Magician.
Magician.
Yeah,
okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And his weak points are, I don't know, is like his exposed muscles on the sides. His weak points were very confusing to me.
Yeah, I just shot.
Yeah, same.
I'm just like, please, dear God, please, just go down.
Please die. Please let me hit you. And he just flies around in the air. And you gotta shoot his glowing muscles. You know, we always make fun of video games with the whole like weak point thing with boss fights, where it's like, shoot the big glowing red part. But I don't know how else to do it.
I don't either, honestly. Or that's what I need. Honestly, the older I get now, it's just like, I can't figure out the fucking, you know, pattern, or just, what do I shoot at?
Yeah.
Shoot there. Oh, okay.
I get frustrated. You know, I was playing, I played the new Dragon Age Vilgard.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually beat it last night, and I was so fucking frustrated. What happened was, I was fighting the second to last boss, so it was like, the end game of that game is like 3 hours long. And I was fighting the second to last boss, and it's this kind of tiered fight where it's like you gotta do this to free this person, then do that. So you have to like do a bunch of shit that's not hitting the boss itself. You just have to like hit these things that are in the environment, and the game glitched on me, and I got like literally 75% through the fight, and I had one thing left to do where I had to like hit these environmental glowing red spots, literally glowing red spots. And the game fucked up and glitched, and it wasn't there. And it just like literally wasn't there. And I could see the path to where it was supposed to be, and it just was not there. And I got so frustrated. And I just like, at one point I just stopped playing and I just let them kill me. Cause I was like, I guess I'll just die and let it reload cause it's not working. And I died, and then I had to start the whole fucking boss fight over again. And it worked the second time, but I was so annoyed.
You would think, like, you know, technology and where games are now, like, it wouldn't have that type of glitch or hiccup. I mean,
It's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's totally the opposite, where, like, yeah, with, like, a 25-year-old Dreamcast game, I don't encounter glitches. It's just the game. But, like, with a brand-new 2024 game that costs $70, I'm like, cool, I guess you haven't patched this out yet.
Yeah, because... I mean, honestly, nowadays, you don't need to have a complete game. You can just ship it out. Here's our deadline. And, oh, shit, we have this problem. It's okay. We have a day one patch. It's fine.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, old games. I mean, Nintendo, Dreamcast, everything. It was like, no, it's going into final production. This is the way it's got to be. We can't touch it after it's done. I mean, so we got to go through testing.
Yeah.
Got to go. Man, I miss those days.
I do, too. Yeah, and it's just, yeah, all games now are beta. every game you buy now is actually a beta. I think we talked about it an episode or two ago, but, like, Star Wars Outlaws came out in, I think, October or something like that, or maybe August. I really like that game, actually. I think it's a great game, and it got a lot of hate because people love to hate Ubisoft and they love to hate Star Wars. But there was shit about it that just, like, was kind of fucky, you know, and I was like, yeah, this isn't, like, I wouldn't have called it an unfinished game because I finished the game. Like, I beat the fucking game. I didn't come into anything that was, like, game-breaking. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely stuff that was, like, not polished. And it's so funny because I just saw they released a gigantic update to the game. I beat it already. I haven't played it in, like, 2 months. They released a huge update to the game, completely overhauls, like, stealth. One of my biggest complaints of the game was that it forces you into stealth for, like, main quest missions.
Wow.
It forces you into stealth to the point where, like, if you get caught, you have to start over. So they patched the game to take that out. They patched the game to be like, actually, no. Which, you know, it's good because... what I was thinking is, like, I shouldn't have to be stealthy, you know, the whole, it's an open world game. If right. I want to be stealthy, I can be. If I don't want to be stealthy, and like with those types of things, my thing is always like, I'll be stealthy until I'm not, you know, until I'm caught. But you would get caught and it would be like, you're caught. And then it would start you over from a checkpoint. It was really frustrating. And they fucking patched that out. And I was like, I played through that whole goddamn game. And now it's, not that it's easier, it's just, like, better. You made it better. But they, like, they did that, and they were like, oh, combat's better now, and there's better character animations, and the enemy's AI is better, and, like, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, so you could have just released the game in November.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, or do a, I don't know, do a beta. Like, if that's what you, it's so annoying.
Well, I mean, that's why, like, you know, when you release a game, I mean, what do you think? People aren't going to buy it from day one. It could mean just kind of like how it sounds with you. It's like, I bought it, I beat it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, but we're going to make it better. It's like, okay, but what about all those people that bought it on day one and played it and beat it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, then go back again. What if they don't want to?
Seriously, a lot of people don't. Yeah.
No, they don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'll play more of it. I don't know if I'm gonna play. I'm not gonna play it again from the beginning. I might eventually if I have like nothing to do. But like they're doing like DLC for it, which is great. But it's not like Cyberpunk is an interesting example because that's like a RPG where you can start a completely new run through and do like a whole new character and all this other shit. But that game, that was a crazy thing because when that game came out. I love that game from the instant I played it. Like, I didn't have huge issues. I was playing on a PS5 originally, so, like, I didn't have like the game breaking shit that was happening. I did. It was crashing constantly, and that was really annoying. But like, I loved the game. I thought it was. I mean, it was. It's been a fantastic game since it came out. It's just that like shit about it was really broken on like old consoles. But that game is nuts because it was like a year ago, I think, they released their like one and only DLC. Right. And when they did that, they also had completely overhauled the entire like character system to the like, Patrick, that game had been out for like 2 or 3 years already.
Okay.
And it's a, you know, RPG game where you get XP and you've got all these skill trees to go down, right?
Okay.
They revamped the game so much that for me, I hadn't touched it in a long time. When I came back into it, basically, it was a different game. It was not the same game that I played when it came out. Like, they revamped the skill trees to an extent that, like, if you jumped back into a character that you had already made and not starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. The game itself was like, hey, you should, we're going to refund all your skill points and you just start that part over from scratch. Because like, it's not even going to make sense to you if you tried to play it. It's not the same game. It's so fucking weird.
Man.
And it was,
that would piss me off.
It was better. It would piss me off if it was worse. It was a lot better. So I was like, I already love this game. And you made it better, so I can't argue, but, like, at the same time, like, maybe you should have waited 3 years to release it instead of putting it out when you did. It's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Again, I don't know what the answers are.
I don't. It's just supply and demand. Yeah.
Do you know what I do want to talk about?
Huh?
I want to talk about Goldman.
Yes. Oh, poor Goldman. This guy needs some attention. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, so the bad guy in House of the Dead 2 is named Goldman. And you get these absolutely tiny interstitials between each level. And I'm not going to pat myself on the back too much, but Patrick, I made a little compilation of all of them back to back.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I just really want... I just want to, like, bask in this performance.
Yes.
Dogs of the AMS. Time they made a move. It's been a while, hasn't it? My friends from the AMS. It's me, Goldman.
What?
Everything's set. All we need to do is wait.
And then...
People of the AMS.
I am Goldman.
I
don't care if you people try to get in my way or not. In time, you'll find out who's right. This is a present from me.
This
too.
Guy. This is an Oscar level performance.
Amy! Harry!
Well, friends, I look forward to meeting you people again. Our emperor shall awaken soon. Hurry, friends. At last, okay. You've come. Friends, the door of fate shall open.
Oh my god.
I've been waiting for you, friends.
This is where it gets really good.
Do you know what you're doing?
I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. Can't you see? Man committed a sin, disturbing the life cycle of nature. The original sin that man is responsible to.
Okay.
To protect the life cycle.
Life cycle.
I have made a creature to rule over mankind.
Mankind.
Grithyferg.
This is the final battle. Show yourself. Our new ruler, the Emperor.
I do think it's a Japanese guy doing an American voice.
Yeah. Then we got like a supersized chaos thing from
Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventure.
Oh my god, he does. He's like clear but silver. Oh yeah. That is a beautiful. That's a fucking that's a work of art. That dude's performance, especially when it gets to the end and he's like, "This is the final battle." Oh my god, I love it so much. Okay, also, I know we've talked a little bit about this, but me and Patrick made these movies when I was in high school called Nacho.
Yes.
And the first one, I remembered this in that, like, oh, I knew this was a thing, but then replaying House of the Dead 2, I was like, oh yeah. We made this short movie for my French class in high school, and we called it Le Film de Nacho, and it was about it was a zombie movie. But I literally was just like, oh, it's just that it's the plot of House of the Dead 2. down to when they meet the bad guy's name is Nacho. And mm-hmm. when they meet Nacho at the end of the movie, I think I just kind of lifted that entire speech. Because it was about, like, mankind and, like, original sin and shit. And it didn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. And I remembered, as I was playing this game, I was like, oh, I remember thinking, as a teenager, like, we were laughing so hard at House of the Dead 2 because, like, that is real MST3K shit. It's just, yes. like, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't get. It's like
I don't either.
Yeah, the bad guy creates zombies to just kill mankind because mankind created an original sin against nature. Okay, that's it.
Wow, I wonder how much the writer got paid at Sega for that.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So. I really enjoyed replaying House of the Dead 2.
Yes.
It just kind of reminded me, like, it did. Honestly, it made me feel like a little kid again.
Yeah.
Playing this game. Because not like we were little kids, but like, it reminded me of like the hours we spent playing this game just because it was like, nah, shoot zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember. God, so I was what?
Oh, geez, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I was 21, 22. And okay. I just remember, yeah, like picking that up with your brother, launch day. And then, just being in my mom's townhouse basement, just playing on that CRT TV and mm-hmm. just going through all the games. And yeah. Like, this system is the fucking bomb.
It is.
Nothing can be more realistic than this thing.
No.
No. And that, and yeah, House of the Devil, I mean, or, oh gosh, House of the Devil. House of the Dead, I mean, I had the first one on the Sega Saturn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never played the first one.
I was going to load it up and try it this weekend, but it,
Do you have a Lycan for the Saturn?
Yeah, actually, I have two Lycans for the Saturn. Yeah, so I could play Virtua Cop on that thing too. So,
nice.
So yeah, just come down to Texas.
Gonna, man. We gotta talk about that because yeah, I do want to. We gotta figure that out.
Yeah, maybe we can do like a live show.
Yeah,
down in Texas.
Texas style Dreamcast off.
Jingo Django. Yeah, Texas style. But after playing the Saturn version,
yeah,
then knowing this is coming out for the Dreamcast, I'm like, man, that one was so bad. How could this, like, I hope they don't screw up again. And of course, obviously, when it came out, the reviews, and because the reviews were really good on it, I thought
they were
good reviews.
I didn't look them up, but I did see that it got like great reviews. Yeah.
So it made me more comfortable purchasing it.
Yeah, it's a fun game. And you know what you were just saying reminded me, like, when I was replaying it by myself, I was just thinking, like, man, I wish I had another light gun because this really is, it's fun, but it is more fun with two players.
Yes.
If you have two, and it's kind of a big ask. You gotta have a Dreamcast. You gotta have two light guns. You gotta have House of the Dead. But it's very fun with two people. One last thing I wanted to mention, just from my experience playing this. So yeah. I did not have a CRT TV. I got one from my wife's uncle, who I had just like we were. It was at a family function sometime in the last couple months, and I had mentioned something about needing a CRT TV, and he was like, "Oh, I'm cleaning out my garage or whatever, and I've got a 13-inch one if you want it." So I was like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." And he's like, "I'm just gonna throw it away." So I got that from him. I had to drive to a random, I don't remember where it was. I had to drive to a golf course because he was playing golf. And he literally left it in his trunk and he left his car unlocked. And he emailed me and he's like, "I'll be at this golf course at this time. You can get it from my trunk." There was a cop in the parking lot. Oh, the whole time I was like, this is the weirdest, one of the weirdest things I've ever done. Is a cop going to walk up to me and be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I'm going to have to say, "Oh, no, it's fine. I'm getting a 13-inch CRT TV from my wife's uncle for my Dreamcast podcast. Please don't arrest me." No. Oh, Casting Dreams. I love that show. So I hooked it up, and then, Patrick, you sent me the light gun, so I was able to play this game the way God intended. However, the fucking button to switch to the input, and the input was just, by the way, audio video, not RGB.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it was just like the two, so I just like, I was like, oh, I'm going to pray this works. The button to switch to that input was broken, so I had to get a piece of like Gorilla Glue duct tape and like press the button in to like press it into the TV so that I could see anything coming through that signal. And as I was playing, every once in a while, it would just like cut to static.
Oh, man.
And play on like shooting zombies, and it would just be like, and then come back. So it was really harrowing.
Wow.
Yeah, but you
luckily mine like, works okay.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you have a much better CRT TV situation than I do.
That was my wife's old TV. So, and they same thing, it was in storage, they were gonna throw it away, and I was like, give it. I want this 20-inch TV. No, give it.
Got a whole room for this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a problem.
No, it's not a problem. It's wonderful. Before we rate this game and put House of the Dead 2 to rest in its coffin, let's watch the ending.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yes.
Something that neither of us got to experience because we weren't good enough to beat the Emperor. By the way, I love that he's got like phantasm balls.
Boy.
He shoots these like silver balls at you that you have to basically you have to shoot them. They don't do anything. Yeah, I got to this point. I was fighting him and then he hit me one too many times and then I died.
Whoa. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the sound effects. Very
Yeah, the sound effects are great. I also forgot to mention, like, when you start playing the game, you're playing against, you know, you're fighting, like, zombies, like, decrepit, you know, like, out of the grave zombies. And then at a certain point, the closer you get to Goldman's headquarters, the zombies are, like, cyber zombies. Did you get to that point?
No. I don't recall that.
You, like, the later you get in the game, the zombies are all, like, they look like Jason X.
Yes, okay.
And they've got, like,
Jason
laser
X.
swords and shit.
I guess that's Elon Musk's new invention. I don't know.
Between this and Jason X, like, we had a real problem with trying to make things, like, cyber in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, so it's basically doing all all those moves from previous bosses.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing, yeah, that we didn't really... We mentioned a tiny bit, but, like, you have to fight all the bosses twice, which is pretty fucking annoying.
Yeah. I am Iron Man.
That's what I was going to say, too.
Old men. Friends, it is not over yet.
Is that all you have to say?
In time, a successor will come. Farewell, friends.
Come.
Well, it sounds like a speak and spell thing.
It does. It sounds like AI, except this is 25 years old. And then he Hans Gruber's himself. Oh, Goldman. I never played House of the Dead 3, did you?
No, that was on Xbox, right?
I think so.
I don't care if a successor comes or not. I'll go on fighting.
Oh.
As long as we rock on.
You tell him, James. Taylor.
Goodbye, Goldman.
Shall we meet again? No.
And then it's just the credits.
Well.
So, Patrick.
Yeah.
1 out of 5 in the year 2000. Actually, no, in the year 1999. What would you rate House of the Dead 2?
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a 5 out of 5. I would say... See, between a 3.5 and a 4.
Okay.
It's really a lot of fun, though. So I'm going to go 4.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
That was exactly, okay. Yeah. I originally was thinking, when I was thinking about this earlier today, because actually I was playing this right before we recorded this. I was like, 3, 3.5. And then I thought, no, Jonathan. In 1999, what would you rate this?
Yeah.
And I played the living shit out of this game. I played this game a lot. And I beat it. I definitely got to that point where they all wave at you at the end.
And say, end.
And it says, end. So I thought the same thing. I was like, nope, you know what? 4. I'm going to say 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
4 out of 5. At the time, it's a fucking great game, honestly.
It really was.
Yeah.
That was the thing with the Dreamcast. Just games just popped on it. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was just the color palette or what, but yeah, just thinking about the environment and how they did it after Venice, Italy. I mean, just all the the cool waterways. Just yeah, like everything was just intricate and neat. And yeah, definitely at that time, you never thought you got anything like arcade perfect like that. So
yeah.
That's definitely a 4.
And the replayability goes a long way towards that rating, I think, with like the branching pass and the things that you can unlock to keep playing. Like,
yeah.
I only got as far as I did because past me unlocked a power up. So thanks, 16-year-old Jonathan.
Nice.
Well, that's it for us for House of the Dead 2. Wanted to make a very quick announcement, if you happen to be listening to this in real time. We've got 2 episodes left for this season, and we figured out what they are. So I can say next time on Casting Dreams, we're going to be talking about the very classic Jet Grind Radio, which I'm fucking stoked to talk about so much. Jet Grind Radio is up next, and then I'm really, really excited for the last game that we're going to be talking about for this season, and I don't want to talk about it yet because I just want it to be a surprise. But I do have it. I had to buy it on eBay. but this episode is coming out in December. and so we're going to take a brief hiatus for the rest of December because of Christmas and just everything. Work, birthdays, Christmas, all that jazz. So Patrick and I just need to take a slight hiatus before we come back with our next 2 games close of the season. So we'll be back in January, I think. hopefully. And then we'll take another break, and then we'll take another break, and we'll come back with season two with some more awesome Dreamcast games. But this has been, I've been having so much fun doing this.
Yeah, no, this is a blast. Oh, it really is. Just memory lane, just walking down it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is, I've just like, I feel like this is just an excuse for us to like hang out and play video games.
That too. Yeah, honestly.
But thank you so much for listening. You can follow Casting Dreams on Instagram and TikTok, and you can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, and you can subscribe and follow the Casting Dreams podcast wherever you find podcasts. If you want to write to us, you can email us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com, or you can just hit us up on any of those platforms I mentioned. If you leave comments on YouTube, I've been noticing some people listening to stuff on YouTube, which is awesome. So let us know what you think. Let us know if there's any games that you want us to cover, and we'll see you next time. So that's it. Dream big. I know.
Cast strong.
Cast hard.
Cast hard. Bye.
Bye.